In today's edition of Curious Wisconsin, we visit a lost piece of Wisconsin history.
During the Civil War, a group of freed slaves found their way to Wisconsin and became part of a community in Dodge County.
Gregory Bond joins us now. He's a historian researching freed slaves in Civil War era Wisconsin. We've linked his recent New York Times piece on the Central Time Facebook page. Gregory, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is the Fox Lake Negro Colony, it was called at the time. How did it get started?
It's an interesting question. It's a long history. It actually starts, if you go back to the beginning of the Civil War, a very important decision was made by Union Army and political leaders to classify slaves who escaped to the Union Army lines as contraband of war, mm-hmm. and they would not therefore be returned to their owners who they escaped from. So this naturally encouraged lots of slaves in the South to try to escape when they had the chance. And the colony got started when several freed slaves from Alabama, Arkansas, and Kentucky made it to various Union Army camps and then were sort of taken care of by the Union Army, and they eventually ended up in Cairo, Illinois, at the very southern tip of Illinois, in a contraband camp.
And in the piece I just mentioned, the New York Times, you tell the story of Samuel Matthews and his family. Can you tell us how they came from slavery to Wisconsin?
Sure. They were in northwestern Alabama in Franklin County near Tuscumbia, and the army of Union General William Rosecrans was nearby. And the local population in Alabama talked of impressing Samuel Matthews into service in the Confederate Army as a cook. And he didn't want to fight for his master's army. So he and his wife, Sarah, and his two children, Richard Matthews and Ellen Matthews, they escaped and ran away from their plantation and made it to Tuscumbia, which was being occupied by Union Army troops. And then they sort of followed the Union Army into Mississippi and eventually to Helena, Arkansas, where there's a contraband camp, and then eventually to Cairo, Illinois, which was the main contraband camp in that part of the country.
And then that next step from Cairo, Illinois, up to Dodge County.
Yes. At the same time, this is all happening in the South. In Dodge County, a farmer is in Trenton, Wisconsin, which is in sort of northeastern Dodge County between Fond du Lac and Fox Lake. The farmers were running into manpower shortage. They didn't have enough people to help them till the land.
Because presumably some people were away at the front.
Exactly. A lot of soldiers from Dodge County were in the army. So it was a very Republican area, staunchly Republican, supportive of the war. And they get this idea of they knew that there are all these freed slaves in the South who had escaped from their homes and were in these camps with nearly nowhere to go. So they organized a group of farmers who were willing to host these freedmen. And they sent Edison P. Cady, who was an elder in the Baptist Church in Trenton, went down to Cairo and found about 39 African-Americans freed slaves who were willing to come to Dodge County and work in these farms.
Including Samuel Matthews,
including
who
we were the Matthew
talking
family.
About. How did Wisconsin's white residents react to the arrival of this community of freed slaves?
That's a good question. They were split, as you can imagine. The Civil War, especially this happened in 1863. The freed slaves arrived in Trenton in March or April 1863. The war was 3 years old at that point. Sort of a stalemate in certain places, and the white population was split. Some people in Dodge County were very supportive of the war, the farmers who brought the freed slaves up, but other people in Dodge County, especially it seems like in Beaver Dam, were what they called copperheads, Democrats who opposed the war. And it was very controversial when the freed slaves were brought up. And the Beaver Dam Argus, one of the leading newspapers in Beaver Dam, was very critical of these freed slaves coming to Dodge County.
And do we know, are there records of what those freed slaves made of Wisconsin? It's a very different environment in terms of people, climate, everything, really.
Unfortunately, it's hard to get at records of the freed slaves talking for themselves. Most of the available resources are in white newspapers or people talking about white people in Fox Lake talking about the community in retrospect. They seemed to be happy. They were integrated into the local white church in Dodge County, the Baptist Church in Trenton. They were taken by their patrons to go to church. Many of them stayed in the area, which I find indicative of the reception they got and how they liked it. Through most of the 19th century, a lot of these immigrants actually stayed in Trenton and then moved to Fox Lake eventually. So they seem to have liked the change.
Doing a research like this, I imagine there must be like a holy grail out there to like find a diary or didn't write an oral history transcription or something like that.
That would be the holy grail. One of the reasons that makes this project actually doable is there is a woman in Fox Lake who worked at the Fox Lake Public Library. She was the daughter of a local politician in Fox Lake in the early 20th century, Harriet O'Donnell, and she in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, when most of the African Americans moved on, interviewed people in the area, including the few remaining African Americans, and wrote a bunch of stuff that was unpublished that was just sitting in the Fox Lake Public Library. Her sort of summary of these interviews she did with both white people and black people who remembered the colony. So that really makes, and she was a good historian. Pretty much everything I can check out in the other sources, she was right on. So some of the stuff that she writes about that I can't verify through other sources seems to be reasonably accurate. But beyond that, I'm in the process of trying to track down some of the relatives of the people of the African Americans who came to Fox Lake. And I'd love to perhaps find some pictures, some letters, some stuff you're saying from the people who came to Fox Lake. I haven't contacted anyone yet, but I'm hoping something was saved through the years for these families.
About how many freed slaves ended up living in that community?
Sure. The original group was about 39. It varies between 35 and 40, the newspaper is talking about. And it was successful. They, like I said, most of them moved to Fox Lake by as early as 1865. The Samuel Matthews and his family bought a house in October 1865, and other families moved to Fox Lake, and it grew. Other people, other African Americans, moved to Fox Lake. I think these were people who were who had known the immigrants when they're in the South, and so more African Americans came to Fox Lake, and by about 1880, the census records 66 people in Fox Lake, which is about 7% of the population, with about 10 other people in surrounding areas. So it seems to peak around 76 or 80 residents. And then, unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, the community gets smaller as we go through the rest of the 19th century.
Yeah, let's talk about the Civil War ends, slavery ends in the South. What happened to the Fox Lake community then?
It thrives for a while. In the 1870s, they start a church, a congregation of the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, which seemed to be the center of the community. The church had, they had Christmas tree celebrations, they had Thanksgiving dinners, 4th of July celebrations, they had ice cream socials, strawberry ice cream seemed very popular. And these festivals seemed to be attended by the African American community, but also by white people living in Fox Lake. And there are stories of white and black men of working age going to Chicago, going to lumber camps in Wisconsin, working together. So it seemed rather successful for a while. But by about the 1890s, two tensions sort of are operating on the community that tend to cause the community to disperse. First is the mechanization of farm labor. Most of these men worked on farms, and you have farm labor being mechanized, so you need fewer and fewer people to actually be out in the fields. And that means a lot of people lose their livelihoods. So they tend to go to bigger places, Beloit, Milwaukee, especially Chicago, Detroit, Pittsburgh, for better economic opportunities. But at the same time, we usually consider, when we think about race relations in the United States, a straight line from slavery or segregation to integration. Things just sort of happen in a straight line. But it's not that simple. These things ebb and flow. Race relations are better sometimes, worse sometimes. And it seems throughout the country in the 1880s, 1890s, after Reconstruction, when the North sort of steps away from protecting the political rights and social rights of African Americans in the South, throughout the country, it becomes more problematic interactions between the races, and this affects Fox Lake. And you have a series of incidents where especially black men are dating white women, and that causes some trouble in the community. But I think it's bigger than just – I think that's often one of the excuses used to sort of justify not liking relationships between blacks and whites. So it seems in a greater sense – things weren't going well between the white residents and black residents of Fox Lake, which also encourages people to leave for greener pastures.
So a community that welcomed these freed slaves during the Civil War, a generation later, is in some ways turning against
them. Yeah, it seems to be the case, unfortunately.
Was this, in your research, the only community like this in Wisconsin, or were there others in the state?
There were a few others. Actually, in Fond du Lac in 1862, another group of freed slaves from this contraband camp in Cairo came up to Fond du Lac in 1862. And there are also a few other rural areas, one in southwestern Wisconsin, which has gotten the most attention historically. But it's very few. It's rather unusual to have these communities of African Americans in Wisconsin at this time period.
And just briefly, one thing I forgot to ask, these people like Samuel Matthews ended up in Wisconsin. Did some of them go back and fight in the war before it ended?
Yes, actually. Hayden Netter It comes to Fox Lake in 1863, and then 9 months later, he's drafted by the Union Army and fights in three different white regiments, which is rather unusual. You had a handful of African-American soldiers who actually fight alongside white men instead of in the colored units, and there are a couple other people from the area who go and fight in the Union Army.
And Samuel Matthews lived in Wisconsin for a while after
the war.
He
did. He dies in 1896. His wife, Sarah Matthews, dies in 1914. And his family, actually, the only family that stays in Fox Lake through the 20th century. And the Matthews' great-great-granddaughter just died a couple years ago before I got a chance to interview her. And she seemed to be the last direct descendant of the original immigrants in Fox Lake. There are a few other ancestors in Beaver Dam and other parts of Wisconsin across the country. I'm trying to track some of these descendants down.
Gregory, thanks for joining us and good luck.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's Gregory Bond. He's a historian talking about his research on the history of freed slaves here in Wisconsin.